the Bible Girl podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journals, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible Girl too. Welcome to today's podcast. It's such a fun and exciting month here on Bible Girl. Firstly, I think you heard our intro is changed. We have a new intro and a new closing with some new music. I figured after 2 years, it was time to refresh. And we have a lot of other kind of fun new things coming this month that I'm very excited about. We're going to be taking a focus this month at looking at God's Word, spending time in God's Word, Bible reading, Bible study, lots of other things to do with spending time with God each day. And today we're going to have a kind of a little introductory thing. There's a couple of things that one thing in particular that we really have to get from the beginning when it comes to Bible study and when it comes to prayer and living a life that pleases God. And so we're going to talk about that today. And then at the end of the podcast, I'm going to give you a little roadmap for where we're headed the rest of the month. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions." And that's the New Living Translation of that verse. The ESV talks about the wonderful truths in your word. The word that you've left for us are full of things, Lord. Give us the eyes to be able to see them. You know, God's word is very packed with all sorts of things for us. And so we're going to start out today in the podcast and talk a little bit about what God's word provides to us. And I have a list of 11 things. These things are listed in the show notes if you want to print those out for episode 53. The first thing is guidance. God's word provides guidance. He tells us the direction to go. He tells us how to live our life in a way that he's called us to do, how to love others and how to serve him and how to carry out our day-to-day activities. Much of the New Testament, especially the last half of it at least, is very practical in how Christians should think and act and behave in the world. But even the rest of the book gives us much guidance in learning of the stories of others and the things that they did well and the mistakes that they made. God's word provides a lot of guidance for the path that we're on. But it also provides wisdom. It helps us to know the right thing to do. And wisdom often comes through experience, and it comes through learning, and it comes through time many times. But the Bible tells us in Proverbs that, you know, we have to choose wisdom, that the Bible gives us wisdom, but we have to choose to act in wisdom. We have to choose to act wisely. And so God's word provides wisdom for us, but we need to know, we also need to know when to apply that wisdom. And that's the third point, is that God's word provides discretion. Discretion kind of tells us how to use what we know. Wisdom gives us the answer, so to speak, but discretion tells us how to apply that or how to use that wisdom. We often think of people with discretion as being very wise, but it isn't just what they know and what they understand, but it's how they use that wisdom that really makes them be people of discretion. That comes from God's word, understanding God's heart and how he thinks about the world and how he thinks about us, and choosing his path. We will over time gain wisdom and then discretion in how to use that wisdom. God's word also provides conviction. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy, I think, about how God's word is meant to convict us. It is a sword. It's meant to kind of slice into us a little bit and show us where we're making wrong choices or where we're headed down a wrong path or where we're living for ourselves and living selfishly instead of living for God. This conviction is painful for a season, but it births something great in us. It has the capability to set us on the right path. And that conviction that comes from God's word is such a benefit to us because it can stop us in what we're doing before it becomes too late. And I think one of the things that we like the least is conviction. We don't like to feel that guilty feeling or that shame of doing something wrong. But know that God gives us conviction in order to heal us, in order to make us better. And that conviction, when it comes from God and comes from His Word, is always full of hope because God is with us. And He is also, at the same time, He's giving us conviction. He's giving us the guidance and the wisdom that we need to be able to make a better choice. He doesn't leave us alone with our conviction. The next thing that God's Word provides is knowledge. It tells us a lot about people who lived. Much of the Old Testament are stories about people who really lived and walked on this earth. Of course, we have the stories of Jesus and how He was able to do great miracles and perform lots of healings and even resurrections, bringing people back from the dead. We see that in the Gospels. We certainly see a knowledge of how the church, we get a knowledge about how the church got its start and how it began to flourish and spread out of Jerusalem into the other parts of the known world there at the time. And I think we sometimes spend too much time on knowledge. We store up lots of meanings of this word and that word and what this city was about, and we store up those things and we take a lot of pride in them, and that's not a bad thing because I believe we all should have an understanding of God's Word and what it says. But knowledge is never the only thing. We need to go further beyond knowledge. And so while knowledge is a good thing and God's Word does provide knowledge, many of the things on this list are as important as well. We can't just focus on gaining knowledge. Number six, God's Word provides our identity. It provides a little clue as to who we are. It shows us as believers who we are and why God cared enough to bring His Son to us. It tells us who we are as believers and how the identity that we have in Christ because of His sacrifice for us. God's Word, it should be the final authority on our identity. We should take the Word of God and who He says we are above over the voices in our culture and the voices maybe in our family. I know all of us have people that maybe they're in your life now, or maybe they've been in your life in the past, who have tried to give you an identity that maybe you didn't want. They maybe had an opinion of you or put you in this box where there's this identity where they think you're the smart one, or you're the cool one, or you're the pretty one, or you're the friendly one. And we know that in Christ, our identity is much deeper than that. We are dearly loved children of God. We are daughters of the King of the universe, and He is interested in our lives and invested in what happens to us. And your identity is found in the pages of Scripture and nowhere else. Number seven, God's Word provides protection. If you heed what it says and you obey God's Word, you'll be protected from things that might come along the way. Now, that's not to say that nothing bad will ever happen to you, because we do live in a sinful world. The world is full of the effects of the fall of man and the sin that came into the world back when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. So there will always be bad things that will happen to good people until Jesus comes back and restores the world and brings about a new heaven and a new earth. Until then, bad things will still happen. But obeying God and obeying His Word, when the Holy Spirit prompts us for something and we obey it, it gives us a certain protection over some things. I know some of you could testify to this, where there's been something where you were encouraged maybe to pursue a friendship with someone, or maybe to back off a friendship because of something that you read in the Bible. Maybe you were reading Proverbs and there was something really wise in there in one of those Proverbs that you felt like you weren't doing well, and you purposed to do to do better, to choose the wise path. And over time, you saw how that protected you from greater dangers. God's word can protect us from the problems that we cause ourselves. It may not necessarily protect you over the things happening to you or around you, although the Bible is our hiding place, and we can run to God and find comfort in his word, which actually we're going to talk about in a minute. But when it comes to protecting you from your own decisions and your own foolish mistakes, God's word can help you a great deal there. The eighth thing that God's word provides to us is our theology, our understanding of who God is and how he works in the world. In fact, I would say that in any time that you read God's word, you should ask yourself, where is God in this passage? What is he doing? How is he responding? How is he reacting? How is he being proactive? What is he doing with these people or in this circumstance or behind the scenes that shows you, me, as I'm reading this passage, that shows me who he is and how he behaves? Every passage can teach you something about God, and I think it's really important to notice those things, because your theology, if you listen to the world or culture, you're going to get a different theology of God than the theology that you would find in Scripture, the understanding of who God is. And I think that's really an important thing to look for as we read God's word. The ninth thing that God's word provides is comfort. God's word has a great deal of comfort for us. It's full of promises. They talk about how he is a good God and a faithful God, and how he listens to us when we pray, and how he will give his children good gifts because he loves them, and how he will never leave us or forsake us, and he will always be with us, and he will fight our battles for us if we trust in him. And on and on and on, there are so many passages in Scripture that are a comfort to us. And God's word can provide those in times when we're feeling weak or overwhelmed or stressed or discouraged, or when we're afraid. His word can comfort us. His word also provides our growth. The God's word can be used in our lives to bring about spiritual growth and personal growth in the way that we treat others, and the way we respond to the work of God in the world, and the way we serve. In all of those ways, God's word can provide growth for us. And lastly, God's word provides confidence. You know, when you have guidance and wisdom, and you know that God is kind of digging in your soul and working out the rough patches and healing those hurts through his conviction. And as you know who God is and how he works in the world, and know who you are and who God says that you are, and you know that you are protected and that God provides comfort and growth to you, it gives you a lot of confidence. And because of all of those other things, we can walk with confidence in our spiritual lives because of God's word. Now, looking at this list, that's 11 great things, and I probably could have gone on if I wanted to spend a lot more time on this, but these are a lot of the basic ones that really came to me immediately. But you might be asking yourself, well, how does it provide all these things? I mean, you know, yeah, we read it, but how does that actually manifest itself in our lives? Well, it's the combination of two things, and this is the thing we have to get right before we really dig into Bible study and prayer and spending time with God and reading God's word and memorizing it and meditating on it and praying it back to God. Before we get into all of that, we have to understand that there is a relationship between what I do and what the Holy Spirit does when it comes to God's word and you. You see, you have a responsibility, and we're going to talk about what your responsibility is in a minute, but alone, those things aren't enough. You can read the Bible all you want. You can read from cover to cover, and many, many people have done so and live lives that don't please God and live for themselves and live selfishly and might even have read the Bible from cover to cover, but even deny that God exists. So it isn't really the reading that's necessarily okay, what does this, but it's the reading and the study and all of those things, our part that we're participating in with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit works in us and uses God's word, then these things happen. Then we have wisdom. We know what to do next. We have the knowledge we need to understand God's word. We have the protection to make wise choices and that protection that comes when we do the right thing, that comfort, that growth, that confidence, all of those things have to be in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. And then your part in the Holy Spirit, you work together. You bring the raw materials, so to speak, and he puts them together in you in such a way that these things then become true and that God's word does provide these things for you. So if you're going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, you really want to make sure that you're inviting him in on the journey, that you're praying and asking for his help to understand God's word and his help to apply it. And even more than that, once you've asked for help and you've kind of, maybe you've read God's word and there's something in there that you believe God really has been convicting you about, and you really want to get better in this area, and you ask the Holy Spirit for help, what the Holy Spirit will do is he will bring that back to your mind throughout the day. And we have to be tuned in to listen to him, his voice, to know when he's prompting us to respond in light of that thing that we have asked his help about. And then we have to be willing to follow through and obey and do what the scripture says. And the more you're willing to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the more clear he gets. And the better you get at obeying God's word in such a way that it actually takes over and provides all of these 11 things in your life. So it is asking the Holy Spirit's help. And then when he tries to give it to you by reminding you of how you should behave and how you should act and think and do and what you should be, then you need to respond to that positively and work with him as he gives you the power to do that. And we have to get that right, because all of the reading and the study and all of the great things I'm going to be teaching you in the next few weeks will mean nothing if you're not willing to allow the Holy Spirit to do his good work and to prompt your heart to move to that knowledge, to move from your heart and your head out to your actions and the way that you live your life and the way you think about things. Remember, if you listen to the Bible study that I did on the seven arrows just back earlier in this summer, we talked a little bit about that, about how it's important to make sure that we are following through and that we're carrying those things through so that there is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to have his way in us. And I think that surrender and that sensitivity to the Spirit of God is crucial to being able to really taking the things that we're learning, whatever method of Bible reading or Bible study or meditation that we're doing, and actually having them change our lives in such a way that we are wise, that we know where to go, that we have a strong identity of who we are, and we know who God is, and we can trust him. All of those things will come when you do your part and you allow the Holy Spirit to do his and you cooperate together. So how do we participate? I already mentioned most of these. We read God's word. We just simply sit down and we read. We study it. And there is a difference between reading and study, but it's not the difference you're thinking. I think a lot of people think that study is complicated. It takes a lot more time. Next week, we're going to talk about the two and how they're different. And I think you'll be surprised when you hear me say the difference. And so we're going to talk about reading and we're going to talk about studying. Also, we participate by meditating on God's word, by taking it and thinking about it, not just reading it and going on with our day, or not just studying it, you know, reading what other people have to say and kind of writing out what we think, but actually thinking about it over and over and letting God bring it back to your mind. We memorize it. We actually almost ingest it in a way so that it becomes a part of us. We are able to recite it back. We're able to recall it at a moment's notice. Memorization is one of those things that's very important, and the Holy Spirit will use those verses that you've memorized in your life in a very powerful way. We'll be talking more on that. And then lastly, we participate by obeying it, by doing what it says, by following the promptings of the Holy Spirit about the things that we've read and heard and studied, and follow through with obedience, whether it's asking us to know or to be or to do something, whatever that thing might fall into, whatever area, we obey, we follow through, and we allow the Holy Spirit to do His good work in us through our obedience and surrender to Him. Now, in the few weeks ahead, we're going to be taking a look at some other topics, and I've got lots and lots of great worksheets and materials for you. Next week, we're going to talk about reading versus study. We're going to tell you the difference about them. I'm going to share with you some places to get good reading plans and share some of those kinds of resources, and I'm going to give you a couple of very basic Bible study methods. These are entry level for people who have never studied God's Word before, all the way up to more experienced Bible study people who have studied God's Word for a long time still rely on these basic methods. So we're going to teach you them. I will have lots of worksheets and handouts where you can print them out and actually fill them out and kind of learn to study them on your own. So we'll have reading plans and some basic study methods on the 12th episode 54. The following week, we're going to talk about a lot of helps to study. We're going to go into a few deeper Bible study methods, a few ways that I have found especially helpful in breaking down God's Word. I'm going to give you a list, a download of all kinds of online resources, as well as a list of good books to purchase if you would like to go deeper into Bible study. We'll also be talking a little bit about setting up a quiet time notebook. I know if you go on Pinterest, there's a lot of stuff about those. I'm going to be talking with you about some of the things that I keep in my notebook, and I'm going to have a lot of printables that week that you'll be able to print out and set up your own quiet time guide. I'll even have some cover of sheets to put in the front of the notebook that match each of the pages, and I think it's going to be a really cool resource for you. If you subscribe to my newsletter, the newsletter that comes out for September 19th, we'll have some additional colors. We're just going to have one available on the website, on the Facebook page, and on the podcast page. We'll just have the standard one that I'm making available, but I'm going to try to do a couple other colors, and those will be available just as a little bonus to subscribers of my newsletter. And then the last Monday of the month, on September 26th, we'll be talking about meditation and scripture memorization, scripture writing, and we're going to talk a little bit about prayer and how that works in with this meditation. In the month of October, I'm going to be away. I'll be on sabbatical for 6 weeks, and the month of October, I'll be out of town. I'm hoping to pre-record podcasts for the month of October. They will be short, and I will be utilizing various methods of Bible study that I'm teaching you, and I'll actually be having a little download that you can print out with the passage I'm going to do, and then you'll be able to kind of work on it yourself, and then I will be doing a podcast about what I learned when I studied that method, and there'll be some places for you to report anything you would like to share with me or with anyone else doing the assignments on our Facebook page. And that leads me to let you know that we have a Facebook group now. If you would like to go to Facebook and join the group, just search for Bible Girl Podcast, and I will approve you and get you added into the group, and you'll be able to post your own comments, anything that you'd like to share. There's also a file section where I'll be putting everything that I post online so that you can just go into that file section and grab what you need when you'd like to. There's going to be some other things going on there, some polls maybe a little later this year, and just a few things. I think having that Facebook group will give me a little bit of an opportunity to interact more with you, which I would love to do. And remember, our scripture writing lists for this month are available on the Bible Girl podcast site. We're looking at verses about God's word in Psalm 119. Some of these verses are just a really good reminder of how important it is to make time to spend with God in his word. And I hope that these verses are a good motivator for you to want to do this if you're not already. And if you are and you just need a good reminder of why it's important to keep at it, these verses will help you as well. So make sure you check those out on the podcast page at BibleGirlPodcast.com. Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, listen to past episodes, sign up for my newsletter, or download show notes and scripture writing plans. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to download Bible study worksheets and get the latest podcast news. You can also talk with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's Jessie, J-E-S-S-I, L. Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.